Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. Ileana, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, Rob. How are you? I'm fine.
I'm well. It's still raining here in Los Angeles, which is a bit insane. We're having one hell of a winter.
Yeah, we're having a very sunny weather the last days, so I'm happy because I prefer.
Yeah, you would not like this weather here, that's for sure. Today, we are super excited to be joined by two team members from this dynamic duo that we're about to learn a whole lot more about. My friend and mentee here in LA for the last year or two, Ezine Ironia, CEO of Skin Muse, and then her partner and the chief creative officer at Skin Muse, Ambrose Price. Ezine is the CEO of Skin Muse. Skin Muse is a premium beauty brand championing inclusivity and sustainability in the luxury goods space. She comes with over a decade of experience working for brands like Lancôme and Dior. She's super passionate about highlighting beauty as an intersection of culture and community. She's currently serving as the president of the Black Beauty Club. For her, beauty is culture. She believes everyone, especially Black women, deserves to have an authentic representation of beauty. And her brand, Skin Muse, has been featured by Beyonce, Issa Rae, Essence, Vogue, and rated top 10 by Elle USA and many, many more. She's a recent Glossier and Cantu grant winner and has raised over $200,000 in national grants. And her current goal is to use Skin Muse to show others how to use beauty as a means to financial empowerment. And today, we wouldn't have done this show without her partner in life and work, Ambrose Price. Ambrose, these are my words, is the super stylish, fashion forward chief creative officer at Skin Muse. Ambrose is a very experienced brand design and marketing consultant with a variety of company experiences in both New York City and LA. He's that classic bi-coastal guy. And he's a graduate with honors of the Fashion Institute of Technology and is, of course, the other side of this dynamic duo. Welcome, Renee, Ambrose, Ileana. Welcome to Mentors Today.
Welcome, guys.
Finally, I've always wanted to be here. I know that just... I didn't want to use my niece privileges to sneak in.
Yes. Yeah, because Rob has a lot of sobrinos, we say in Espanol.
Yes, he does.
Yes, exactly. Lots of nieces and sobrinas around the world. So I'm very lucky.
Yes.
You, my friend, are here fully on the merits of your of yourself, of your accomplishments, of yours and Ambrose's accomplishments with the business. You're 100% not here because of any personal favors by me. So.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome. We are super happy to have you here as you just listen. And before we talk about your company and all the magic behind that, we would like to know more about your journey. How do you end up being entrepreneurs and more specifically in skincare entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I guess I could start off with my story.
Okay.
Entrepreneurship. So, I mean, since I was young, I'd say maybe 10 to 12 years old, I've always been a person who likes to create things. So whether that was pieces of art or, you know, I was taking things and painting on them and trying to sell them, I was always in that mode of how can I make something from nothing. And I think as I grew up through college, and after college, I got into the startup world with the Founders Institute in New York. I helped set that up.
Okay.
A friend of mine, Kevin Siskar. And after we were running that for, I think, 2 or 3 years, I moved on to try to start my own brand. So I was partner and CEO, owner of a few different brands that did
serial
okay.
Entrepreneur.
You know, serial entrepreneur. You know,
yeah.
We had those. And that kind of ended up bringing me... Fast forward, you know, let's call it 7 or 8 years later, to meeting Ezine, and she had this idea, and I just really wanted to be a part of it. So
I'm very persuasive.
She is. And admittedly, was something that I had never gotten into before. But again, I'm a sponge. I like to learn. So learning beauty, but knowing, you know, how to start businesses and knowing this this world was something that I was interested in and interested in exploring with her.
I agree. Also, big fact about Ambrose, he doesn't tell people his art actually ended up at a museum.
Okay.
He used to sell art pieces. He still does on the low, only when he's driven to do it. I'm just going to put that out there.
Thanks. Okay. That's a good shout out. I appreciate it.
For me, I was born and raised in Nigeria all my life. Traveled around a lot with my mom and got exposed to, my mom actually owned a beauty salon. So naturally, almost every, if you meet the average Nigerian or Caribbean person, we always have a hustle. Like, we could have a full-time job, but there's always a hustle. So that mentality of multiple streams of income, I grew up seeing in so many family members. My mom used to be the director of aviation and also owned a beauty salon. And I ran around that beauty salon many times and just saw her, you know, really using beauty as a way to financially empower herself and teach us about wellness. Fast forward, moved to America. And I'm, you know, I couldn't work. Any immigrant who knows, when you first come here, depending on what your status is, you might not be legally allowed to work.
How old were you?
I was 16. I actually moved to America by myself at 16. Yeah.
Okay.
I graduated high school at 15. My mom was like, you want to do it? I got into college, you know, admissions. I got to like 4 universities in America. And we both were like, okay, let's do it. It had its pros and its cons, but we got through it. But at that age, I'm here. I don't have a work permit, but I'm legal to go to school here. So I start thinking outside the box. And what do we have? We have beauty again. I'm at this point, I opened like a small hustle with Weave. I was selling like bundles and, you know, helping people install, like, people call it extensions in our community. We call it Weave.
Yeah.
You know, in beauty and just finding ways. As soon as I got my, I probably had a nonprofit as well. Probably multiple, I was doing multiple businesses while I was going to college.
Wow. Yeah.
The side. And fast forward, when I finally got my work permit, my first job was as a perfumer at Dillard's. I still kept my side hustles. I still did it, you know, thrived in that space. And years later, worked for Dior, left Dior, and now we started Skin Muse in 2019. So that's been the journey here. Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Geographically, where did you go to college?
Ooh. My point of entry into America was Texas. But I went to college at University of Oklahoma. So as you can imagine, I'm 16. I've never been to Oklahoma in my life. I was admitted for engineering. At that point in time, University of Oklahoma was a top school for petroleum engineering. And I really went in there and it was a culture shock. Let's just say that.
Yeah, imagine.
That's a whole other podcast. All right. So help me. Bring me through, fast forward a little bit. How do we wind up in LA? Other than the, because we were in Oklahoma, and so there had to be someplace better than that. How did you find yourself to LA?
For me, when I was working in Oklahoma, I was working for Dior. So I was a business manager. You know, I had worked for Lancôme as a national artist. My boss then had poached me and said, let's go, we're going to Dior together. I left with her, went to Dior. As I was working for Dior, we're traveling around. I knew that Oklahoma, for obvious reasons, where it comes to diversity and inclusion, wasn't where I needed to, you know, sow my oats or be rooted there. I've never spoken about this, but I feel like this is, I'm getting comfortable. I was also being haunted by an abuser at the time. So I needed to find a space to just restart and just, you know, somewhere safe for myself to start a new life. And I remember asking my boss, like, hey, these are the places I'm looking for. I'm also very spiritual. I prayed about it. And, you know, my spirit and God kept saying, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Okay.
That is the real story. For a week straight, when I was praying and fasting, I kept getting emails about jobs in LA. It was
wow. Everything aligned.
Everything aligned. Signs. So many signs were like, you need to be in LA. You need to be in LA. Even a stranger, my last day of like, I was like, God, I need you to let me know. I think this is LA. My last day, somebody walked up to me at the mall and said, like, I just wanted, my spirit wanted you to know that you need to move now. And I was like, whoa, like, it was meant to be.
Hold on, let's go back. Literal stranger in where, like, Oklahoma City, like, more Tulsa?
Oklahoma City, as a business manager, I had a counter that I was managing Oklahoma City, and I was at the counter that day, and I'm literally just like, you know, checking boxes, ticking everything that needs to be done. And this random guy walks up to me and he's like, I just want you to know that my spirit led me to you to tell you that you have something that you need to do. You need to move now. Now is the time. You need to move now.
Yeah, divine intervention.
It was divine intervention. And I couldn't ignore it. And 3 months later, I mean, I'm working with Dior. I'm telling them what I need. Like, they need to move me. They were like, oh, we have somewhere for you in San Francisco or Seattle. I was like, no, I need to be in LA. Like, for real, for real. So they didn't have a job for me when I first, they were like, well, if you go now, you won't have a job placement until, you know, your position opens up. I was like, I'm leaving. So when it opens up, you let me know. It opened up 2 months later, but I had to take a pay cut, yada, yada, yada. Not to dwell on it, but that was literally how I ended up in LA.
That's amazing. So I want to tie some of this back together a little bit, because you and I were messaging a few weeks back about an event you were at, you were doing or participating in here in town, and you were talking about your family, right? And so if anybody follows you on social media, which we'll hook them up so they can find you and follow you at the end of the show, but your mom, your family plays like a huge role in everything that you do, and in this business, in your life, et cetera. And talk to us more about that. Like, you have family now that comes and visits regularly in LA, or family that has moved themselves to here. Like, talk to us more about just the family ties, because this is a hell of a journey, right? Like, we've gone from Nigeria to Texas / Oklahoma, LA.
Yeah.
And yet the family bond has kind of traveled with you. So tell us more about that.
I would say that for both of us, right? Like, our family, we make a joke that our two-bedroom apartment is a hotel galore because...
A hostel. People drop in and
Everybody stays.
They're always there. It's like, oh my gosh. Last year, I think we had our place ourselves for like 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
The 9 other months, somebody was there. So someone's always there. For both of us, our families play, and you could correct me if I'm, our families play such a big role because we don't come from a family unit where we believe in individuality.
Okay.
We believe in, we call it, in my culture, we call it cooperative economics. Whereas in order to propel forward fast and efficiently, you need structure and foundation of people who are supporting you.
Yeah, supporting system, as they say in America.
Exactly. Like, for both of us, both our parents are invested in our company. You know, they've financially, sweat equity, emotionally invested into our company. But when it comes to my side of the family, we're Nigerians. We don't have, we don't believe that one goes. Even when I was coming to America, my auntie sent, like, he's met them. They were all sending me off. They were all invested in my, equally into my success, right? As much as my mom was. And when I'm here, I'm so close to my mom. She is, if I told my mother today that I wanted to open a strip club, she'd be like, all right, so where do we need to go? I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to go on Craigslist and maybe I'll start taking, you know, auditions for you. She supports every single initiative that I have ever done. And when I told her about this, she actually shipped me my first shipment of shea butter. She paid for it.
Okay.
She paid for it. I had to pay her back to show how I was serious about this business. But she did all the logistics, and she did it for the first year, was helping us ship
direct
with her connections at the airport. You know, so she was helping us ship direct, you know, cargoes of shipments of shea butter, natural shea butter.
Right from the farm.
Yeah. Right from the farm. She actually worked with the farmers, everything. You see my mom, she's like this short little, I call her like a menace to society. But you don't want to get in her bad side. She will bully you.
Don't get in her way generally.
Don't get in her way generally. She will she will obliterate you if you're in her way. So this woman who had a full-time job was literally doing that for me. And, you know, fast forward now, both of us came. We didn't have any family members in LA. We didn't have any community. My sister has moved here. My brother moved closer to Houston. His brother moved closer to Florida. His family is in Austin. They visit when we have big events. They were all, we recently had an event like 3 weeks ago and everybody was there.
Everybody came.
They support us so well because even down to, and we support each other. Like, somebody in our family might be like, hey, we need money for this venture, with this business. We celebrate businesses like it's our personal, you know, business, because we understand that if such and such wins, we also win. If my brother wins, if his brother wins, we also win. And we make sure we give each other the best opportunity to win. And one thing I love about Ambrose's family, especially, they give leeway for you to also fail. It's okay if it doesn't work out. It's okay if this turn didn't open the door that you wanted. How can we redirect? It's a natural cadence of life. So
that's awesome.
I think about, you know, when it comes to entrepreneurship, generally speaking, it's not going to work all the time, you know, and knowing that and knowing that my family supports that and supports us in that, you know, knowing that we're going to do the best we can do, you know, is a huge relief.
Not the pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Relief for us, knowing that we don't have to think about running the business and also having this insurmountable amount of pressure on your head to know that, oh, if something doesn't go quite right or we take a loss, that it's not the end of the world, that we still have that support.
Yeah.
And I feel that that's mainly there because we are also taking this very seriously. You know, we're not being frivolous. We're not throwing money around. We're not taking endless vacations. You know, anything that we do is to support the business and to promote the business.
Yeah.
And I think that they see that and they've seen what we've been able to accomplish from, and I'm sure we'll get to this later, little to no money.
Yes.
100%. You know what grabbed me about that thread? A couple things. One, true family, right? So not just like convenient family when there's success on the road up. Right. But true family to me, that leeway is real family. That's unconditional. Like we're with you on whatever you're chasing, whatever you're building, no matter what moment in time it's at, which is awesome. And then the second thing, this is just totally selfish and self-serving on my part. So this now explains to me with a greater clarity, like the immediate referenceability of like Uncle Rob, right?
Yeah.
Like, so like you've sucked me into your family by choice.
Family of choice. Yes.
Which the root of that whole story goes back to Latin America, which is where it was always Tio Rob.
I was going to add that everything that you were telling remind me a lot of the Latin way of building community and how we also, we have a lot of businesses and family is a very important part of us. And even if you are like 30 or 40, you're still, some people still living with their families. I mean, they are fully independent, even though they are, I don't know, it's difficult to explain, but
Yes, and I think one thing for us to know, and one thing I realized being in America, it is a privilege that's one privilege that we can proudly claim, especially as minority communities, is this network of families that will support you regardless of season and stuff. And I'm very blessed to have that blueprint to also pass on to other generations as well. Yeah.
I did love that you have a term for that.
Yes. Yeah, corporate economics.
I never heard something like that before. We were like just echando porras, as we say, like,
yes,
but we don't have a specific term for that. And I really love that.
It's admirable in the context of, as you keep comparing, kind of, you exist inside of the American culture, right? And the American ethos is especially nowadays, like dramatically different than that, right? It is hyper individualistic and it is hyper independent as far as how we raise and build our families and our young people and stuff like that. But we weren't always like that. Like, the little history lesson here is that we were like every culture, right? Even an amalgamated culture like ours, it was not that long ago, 80, 90 years ago, rooted in family and family support systems and family, even geography, like geographic reliance upon one another, economic reliance. So it's awesome for me to see, like, the best part of us is that the country is flexible enough to empower you all to live the way you want to live with your community, inside of the community, right?
Yeah.
As Americans who bring these other cultural values to the space. And then it's also just a great example for us to witness and to learn from and to be a part of. So it's awesome. I love it.
So now please tell us about Skin Muse. Why it's different from other beauty companies? What makes you special? And all the details.
So I one thing, which is, I'll bring it back to my mom. I remember growing up as a child, she would carve out these experiences for us that gave us rest or made us feel seen, right? She would always say, rest is not something that you have to earn. Rest is something that you deserve.
Okay.
And a lot of times the rest was rooted in beauty because that was what she knew, you know, the best. Whether it was, you know, this weekend we're going to go to the salon and have your hair braided, or this weekend we're just going to go by the pool and relax and, you know, really adorn yourself in certain beauty ingredients or certain lotions, or spend some time at a hotel and just relax. She was very much, she would literally go on the calendar and carve out dates where we're going to rest. And as a child, I grew up seeing that. I grew up, you know, believing that. And I grew up seeing the benefit. You might not always be able to afford a vacation or, you know, for 2 weeks in Italy, but you will be able to afford 30 minutes of daily rest, yeah, right? Daily health prioritization. And that's what sets Skin Muses apart. We're a premium beauty brand that is rooted in self-care rituals, where we give you the tools to step aside for 30 minutes each day to be like, you know, it's time, it's Ile's time. I'm going to spend this 30 minutes just like checking in. I'm going to shower. I'm going to come out. I'm going to put the Skin Muse playlist on. I'm going to put my body butter on, really take my time to really apply and check in for my body, from my head to my toes in those 30 minutes where I've had a long day. And we are taking that DNA that we've both experienced in our cultures, especially with me and my mom, and bringing it to where you can carve out the rest that you already deserve in this crazy life that we all experience, especially in America, with so many news that you open your Twitter, you're going, your emotions are up and down. You can grab and take control with 30 minutes with our beauty products. And that's really what I love the most about what we're building at Skin Muse, is the intentionality. And when we say inclusivity, it's really because my communities of color, minority homes, you don't really see that. You have so much dealing with outside and inside you don't really see rest being prioritized because we're such in a hurry and such on the go to equalize the playing field that we don't carve out the times for ourselves.
Yeah. And I would also hop in to say that, you know, coming from a Black or African-American experience, yeah, rest isn't something that's typically celebrated. It's typically seen as, you know, and that has to do a lot with the histories of our people. And I'm sure it's very similar in the Latin American community too. Oh, you then what? You must be lazy.
Yeah, you're a lazy person. You have to work.
And you know, that's not how we're supposed to operate. That's not how people are supposed to operate. And even if we take it back to a more scientific type of way of thinking, you know, we think about, you know, the animals that hunt. They don't hunt all day, every day. They hunt for a certain period of time, and then they rest the rest of the day, and then time to go work again. But it's not something that's done, you know, at 100% all the time. And I think we've been conditioned as a people to be working all the time. I remember when I was just getting out of school and I was working in the fashion industry, and I was also, you know, wearing my multiple hats, doing other jobs as well. I remember there was a point where I had two or three jobs at one time. I remember one day in particular, I didn't get called into work. So I only had to work one job that day. And it was as if my whole life had changed. I said, I got to get out of this. I can't be working all the time. I can't be. So, you know, that idea of bringing rest daily into the routine.
Yes.
As she said, even if it's just for 30 minutes, prioritize yourself for 30 minutes. Give yourself 30 minutes to just take a rest, take a beat, check in with you. Make sure that you're okay. Make sure that you're doing okay. And if you're not doing okay, you at least have 30 minutes a day where you can
take those steps to identify and take steps. Yes. So a lot of the
working
and a lot of the products that we make, like our Buddy Butters, for instance, it's really rooted in culture. We have a golden scoop that you can, you know, get with your butter, where it literally, it comes in a solid form and you literally have to let it touch your skin to melt like butter. You know, we have our cuticle oil that you can put by your office or wherever, where you can roll on there. The tools, the efficiency, which I'll give shout out to Ambrose for all of that, we think about not only should the formulation be great, but the experience behind it should be great as well. Like, you're not just getting lotion, you're getting the tools to carve, to really set yourself up for a ritual, a daily ritual that makes you feel, I've taken care of myself today. I have given myself something today.
Makes you feel excited to use it. Exactly. So you'll need to continue to do that, which will in turn make you feel more whole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I was about to ask that, like, how do you sell products around an experience? You have the products, but how do you sell the concept of the ritual to your community? But you just explained it very perfectly.
No, it's awesome. I mean,
I love it.
It's interesting, right? Because you use language like luxury or the luxury space, but then if you just listen to the storytelling, what you're really explaining to us today, but to anybody, right, is that idea of how simple or how within your grasp luxury can be on a daily basis, and how maybe this is just my interpretation, right? Maybe we're kind of redefining luxury.
Yeah. And accessible by reclaiming your time. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone tweeted the other day, as in, you know, I'm always on Twitter. Someone tweeted something the other day, and they were like talking about, you know, chasing the bag, right? Trying to get their cash, trying to get their money. And then said, but at the expense of rest and self-care and nourishment and physical well-being and getting for walks. And then I responded and I was like, maybe all those other things are the bag.
Are the bag. Yes. And all those other things are the bag, to have the liberty to even, you know, carve out that time. That is luxury. Luxury is not going on Rodeo Drive and running up a check. You know, that's capitalism.
Yeah.
Yes. We've been almost conditioned to think capitalism is luxury. And, you know, those things make you feel good. They do bring out several, you know, experience. I love a good outfit. I love a good experience, you know, good.
She loves a good gift.
I love a good gift. I love a good gift. But our goal in life, even for each other, is to be able to reclaim our time.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Do us a favor. Let's talk a little logistics now, if we can, about the business, right? So you're in this business together, you two. You're collaborators on this, not just in your personal lives, right? So let's highlight, amplify that a little bit. Like, how are you guys divide and conquer the labor? How do you divide the responsibilities? What Ambrose brings that is superpower of his that he brings to the table, and, you know, and how does that complement or extend you as an A?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can hop in here. When it comes to doing business as life partners, I would say there need to be a few things that need to be set up in place first and foremost before anybody would decide to make that decision. And that's mainly because relationships are hard, and business, starting your own business, is hard as well. So if the foundation of the relationship isn't already solid before you decide to go into business together, inevitably there's going to be issues and there's going to be problems.
It will fail.
It will fail. And your relationship might fail with it. So you have to really consider what's important in your relationship. You have to make sure that you're keeping the two things separate, which might be very difficult because, again, if you're working from home or if you're starting off at home, and you're trying to keep business and your personal life separate, it may be difficult. But moving back to Skin Muse and why I think that we work so well together, it's because we, as you said, we don't have the same skill sets. So thankfully, what I'm very good at is not something that she's very good at. So we don't run into a lot of conflict when it comes to our superpowers, as you said. Mm-hmm. So what I brought to the table was I noticed that she wanted to start this brand that had such a great idea. It was such an amazing product. And I think, and I tell this story all the time, from the, you remember the first sale prototype that you had,
the
first prototype, the first sale that ever was this version of Skin Muse that came out. She was at a Christian women's conference, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she set up a little table, and we were doing all this running around to get, you know, things prepared for this conference. And when she came back and she had half the stock that we sent her with, which was a pretty decent number at the time. I want to say we had, let's say, call it 50 items, and she came back with 20, 25, and nobody was trying to bargain with the price. I knew that she had gold here, essentially. And so what I brought to the table was, how can we package this? How can we tell her story, which was so powerful in itself? How can we tie all these things together to create this brand that is really going to go the distance? And so because of my experience in fashion and branding, I was able to come on and not really interfere with anything that she brought to the table, which was more marketing. And I would even say
business administration
skills. So those are the things that I was in a deficit of that she was able to handle, and vice versa.
And because we were so different in our superpowers, because I would have had to hire somebody anyways as a in a creative role, and he was already doing the work for free. and I have the super strength. I always say, like, even my Twitter name sometimes is like Big Money Magnet. Like, my superpower is that, is like doing the foresight, doing the business, the stuff that people might seem, you know, boring. And his superpower, one of his superpowers that I love, is managing people. I had never managed like a team of more than three people before this role. And he has managed departments and a multitude of people that I had no skill set in. And when you see that and you marry that, it becomes the perfect recipe, because I'm too busy focusing on what I do. And one of the things I love about why this is able to work is we intentionally invest in our communication and our skills. I have a therapist. He has his, you know, he does his counseling. He's someone who is such a nerd. Ambrose will see, we have a project and Ambrose will literally go back to school for it. He will enroll in a course. He will go to masterclass. He will be on YouTube. He'd be reading books. And I can trust that the decisions that he's making are confident, like solid decisions, because I see how much he works on his craft and invests in his craft. And I, on the other hand, as a founder, you know, I definitely invest in my mental health heavily. You know, we both really take time. We do yoga. We spend, you know, time with by ourselves. We individually invest and repair or refuel ourselves. So he can also confidently know that the decisions I'm making for the business are sound decisions.
Yes, for sure. She definitely takes the time necessary to make sure that she's prepared, whether it be for a pitch or whether it be just mentally prepared. She also does her due diligence when it comes to making these decisions, and nothing is really made off of an emotion.
Yes.
It's all made, decisions are made off of
data, facts, research.
And they have to be.
Yes. And that's how we really approach things. We rarely have conflicts, but when we do, it's a very rational standpoint. Where did the mistake happen? How can the mistake not happen again? What did we learn? We say we don't take L's, we learn lessons. It's not a loss, it's a moment it's a lesson to be learned. And we intentionally, when something doesn't go the way we intended to go, we intentionally sit down and be like, okay, what could we have done to avoid here? And that's it. You wrap it up. The same thing happens with everyone on the team. We wrap it up, we don't have to dwell on it. Let's keep it pushing. Yeah.
Because things are, especially in the entrepreneurial world, things are moving so fast. Things are going to happen. And, you know, you have to give grace in those times. You know, we're dealing with money that we've made. So, of course, we don't want to, you know, irrationally make decisions. But, you know, when it comes to it, we just want to get to it. And after, if something comes up or if a mistake has been made, we want to get to it, figure out how we can try not to make that same mistake twice, and keep it pushing.
And right now, what's the stage of Skin Muse? Are you raising capital? Can you give us a little bit of numbers about revenue, clients, and the future plans for the company?
Yeah, I'm very excited. If you're listening to this, please vote for us on Sweater Barner.
We will do, yeah.
Sweater Barner, it's an app. But we are going into our first. We've tried many times, and I'm always honest, especially with communities of color, about fundraising. We have raised over $200,000 in just grants, non-dilutive grants. We have raised $100,000 through the TXO Accelerator Program by Andreessen Horowitz. So we're a little over $300,000 right now. And by April, we are opening up our first round, our seed round, to raise $2 million on a safe note. This is to help refine our supply chain. We are launching with our partner Rooms at Hotels so we can successfully execute for 40 hotels as we expand in the hospitality space. Now, up until this point, we bootstrapped ourselves to six figures. You know, we got into Macy's online. You can find us online at Macy's now. We're in 13 Loon and a couple other retailers as well. And we want to continue doing that. But most especially, back to the rest in relaxation, we want to make sure our blueprint is seen in the hospitality space. So that's where we're going. We're fundraising. We're looking at partners. We're taking meetings right now. We're having conversations. And we hope by April, May, at the latest, we should have closed a successful good round. Yes.
I'm going to be excited to see what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for how we've gotten here. I don't think we would have gotten here so quick without community. And now that we've, you know, really honed in, gotten our own space, invested in our supply chain, invested in our company with hiring on the right talent, we want to propel ourselves forward with this investment.
Oh, 100%. All right. So I'm going to combine two questions together. So one, you know, I'm a huge believer, proponent of our opportunity and the potential here in Los Angeles, right? I've made that very clear in mind that I'm a believer.
You're a long way.
Back on LA, exactly. So one part of the question is, you tell me, like, is this a good market for these types of products? Is this a good market for this community, right? Like, is it what I would hope it could be, or is my hope just misplaced? Second part of it, and this is obviously just related because of some of the demographics of LA, right? There seems to be this kind of trend now that we see of, you know, celebrities and celebrities as investors, maybe a couple years ago, 5 years ago, they were influencers, endorsers, et cetera. And it was more like, what's in it for them? And now, at least in my conversations on the investor side of the world, I see lots more like celebrities who are setting up their own family offices, celebrities who are setting up in partnership with other people are setting up their own VC funds to focus on beauty, wellness, skincare, you know, all these types of product sectors. So two-part question. One, does LA have a huge upside? Is LA a great place to build a brand company like you're building from a market standpoint? And then two, is the fact that we have like a lot of celebrity kind of involvement here in the community, is that something that will be beneficial to you, or could you, this could have happened anywhere?
Personally, I would say, I think LA is a great place, especially for something like this. I do want to admit that LA is our second largest market. Our first is New York City.
Okay.
So, you know, when it comes to LA though, I think it's great because the access to the community and to the right folks is here. You know, it's not hard to find events that are centered around beauty in the LA area. It's not hard to get access to find startups in LA. LA startup ecosystem is healthy and growing right now. So I do think that LA is a great place to be when it comes to any type of startup that you're looking to move forward with. But again, access to the movers and the shakers, you know, you can't really get much better than LA in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So in particular, though, your customer market, there's a bigger opportunity for your customer market in a bigger, denser city like New York.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure many factors contribute to that when it comes to diversity, when it comes to the weather.
Yes.
So many things that come in play for that. But in LA, one thing I love about LA is the, not even outside of beauty, there's a culture of supportive corporate economics, especially when it comes to founders of color. Brown and Black founders, we technically, usually will stick with one another and support one another. I'd like to give a shout out to Grid 110 that plugged us into an ecosystem of a lot of founders that look like myself, you know, gender-wise and, you know, race and ethnicity and backgrounds. Where you come from similar spaces. One thing that I've learned, shout out to Coffee Del Mundo, which is a beautiful Black and Latinx coffee shop in LA. His name is John. John will literally pack up his coffee store shop and come and help support us in one of our events. I mean,
just met Jonathan on Friday night.
Oh, whoa.
What a surprise, bro.
Yeah, John is great.
John is a gem.
John had his coffee stuff packed up in a thing.
Yes. Those cold brews are amazing. And John will literally pack up bring his staff, bring the coffee cart and help us, you know, do a lot of partner with us in a lot of events. And I haven't built a business in another city, but I don't really see that. I don't hear about that from founders in other cities about how much in LA. One thing I love is how much we stick together. If we can, we will. So many people like Compliant, Shiloh Compliant, will always see how she can propel us forward. Reparations Club, for instance, is a book club that sells our stuff.
Also to Sip and Sonder.
Sip and Sonder.
Who we used as an office space for the first month or two when we started the business.
Exactly. And they've let us use their space for free to do pop-ups and stuff. You don't really get that special, that there's a special niche that comes with being a founder or a business in LA. And I think that it's, a lot of people might say it's too big or it's too showy, but LA at its true core is a very supportive, loving space at its true core. And you can find those pockets of true support community. When it comes to celebrity involvement, I mean, let's be real. The more we're in a society where the blue checks and the follower counts do have power. I think it's naive of anyone to ignore that. So the access to that pedigree of celebrity-like nature does help businesses. I think it's very much something that you should use in the right way. To whom much is given, much is expected, where you don't want someone whose expertise is in beauty helping you build your healthcare startup, you know? It's not something doesn't add up. You don't want to partner up with the wrong person that could ultimately have the power to tank your company if you haven't done your own due diligence. So I say for startups or founders looking into that, make sure it's someone who can't just give you exposure, but can actually help you build your business and plug you into the right networks to propel you forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you've done. We read it in the bio, right? I mean, hello. Like the answer to my question is Issa Rae.
Love Issa Rae. Today we've never met Issa, but she's been so instrumental to our company. We her team. Shout out to the way they extremely extend themselves when given the opportunity.
No, 100%. And I'll just a quick anecdote, only for the purposes of validating your thesis around love at its core. When you live or work here intentionally. So the reason that I met Jonathan on Friday night, and Ile will appreciate part of this story as well, because it actually ties to her into this in Guadalajara, Mexico, a former client, really good friends of mine who are launching a new food industry focused, CPG focused fund, capitalist from Mexico, but they're launching in the US, focused on the US. They were having a launch party at Expo West last Friday night in Anaheim. And I, of course, was going to go down there to support them. And just, I honestly hadn't seen these guys in 3 years, like since before the pandemic. So it's like a family thing. So the night before, I'm sitting in my couch watching TV and I DM Kiana Patterson and I DM Mickey and I DM like three other women in town who I know. And I say, hey, I'm going to be at this event with these people, with this new fund that has like $70 million under assets under management. And they're looking for these types of people. And I know you have these people in your circles. And I know these your circles wouldn't get access, this easy access to like come to this. And then if they come and I'm there, I will guarantee they get one-on-one time because I'll literally walk them over and handhold them into the people. And so literally Kiana like scrambles around, doesn't tell me who she sent. And then I'm there. And this young woman comes up and we're talking and she looks at my LinkedIn and goes, oh my God, I'm here because of you.
Wow.
And she's like, right, I was supposed to look for you. I was like, here I am. And then while we're having that conversation, Jonathan overhears it and walks up and he's like, I'm here because of you. He's like, are you Rob Ryan? And I was like, are you friends with Kiana Patterson? And then conversely, I turn around and separately walk them over to my guys, to the venture capitalists from Mexico. And I'm like, hey, you got to listen to her story. Hey, while he's talking to her, you got to listen to his story. Jonathan, come here. We got to walk you over here. And right. I mean, just doing that intentional, doesn't matter that there's 15, 17 people here. Doesn't matter that you can't get across the 405 at a certain time of night in traffic. Like all that stuff doesn't matter if we just work at the intentionality of connecting the people to the other good people to try and amplify good people.
I really love, that's one of the special things. Just like you said, it's so many times you email somebody, email a Lupe or get an email from Kiana or Mickey and instantly, you don't even have to say too much. This is what I need. And it's gotten done for you. And I think that's something that small businesses, especially, it's a valuable asset to have. Yes.
Yeah, no, 100%. Thank you for that.
So we just made it to the best part of the show. Now you're becoming the mentor of the day. So please, Guy, I don't know how we were going to make this possible because you are two, but we want to know everything. So please give us three pieces of advice.
I know. I always like to give one practical advice that people should just have, and like general life-inspiring advice. The practical advice is when you're opening a business, please open up a bank account. Do not meddle your personal finances with your business finances. You don't even have to go the EIN way and do all those 10 steps to open up. You can just open up a separate account. It could be an easy something you can do at Bank of America, wherever, just or Wells Fargo. Just open up something separate. In the long run, it'll help you with your taxes. They'll help you with your cash flow, financial projections. And most importantly, like we just saw with Silicon Valley, we did that when we first started. And so we still had a separate account outside of Silicon Valley. So we were able to at least, which we were keeping about a month's worth of runway in there. So we knew that for 1 month, regardless of what's going on, we can kind of like,
okay, yeah.
So I always tell people, open up. It doesn't have to be an official business account. It can be just a second account, but make sure you don't muddle your finances in the same account. Second advice, to be stand in your truth and the world will make room for you. I think authenticity will solidify your position in life, where don't sway with the crowd. Don't go with the trends. It's a very scary route to travel. It's a very scary journey to travel. But if the more authentic you are on your journey, the longer you can withstand any storm, any wave, the stronger the connection that you make, because you stood in your truth and you're able to attract the people that can help you, or, you know, your audience. People can read through when you're not genuine. People can smell it when you're not genuine. Stand in that truth and know that the world will make room for you. Always get ready to pivot. I love a good pivot. Go with the flow. Know that a bad day in your business is not a bad day in your life. You can be mad, be aggressive, let the emotions be, but don't let that dictate how you see your life, because entrepreneurship will come with high highs and low lows, and you have to be okay knowing that this is just a wave and I'm going to get to my high again. Maintain your equilibrium, go with the flow. Do not fight the wave wherever it's going. Be ready to pivot at any point in time.
Awesome.
Ambrose, I'm not going to say add to that. I'm going to say, come at that from your perspective. What's your advice?
So I'm going to come at it from a person who's been in entrepreneurship, but also a person who's a creative. So the first thing I would say would be, when it comes to building a company, people often think about the product first. They think about this thing, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, you can have the best cup on the planet, but if you don't have a story to tell around it, if you don't have a brand built around it, it's just going to be a really good product. You could put it on Amazon and it might sell. But if you're trying to go the distance, you need to build a brand. So do what you can to build a brand. And I'll tie the second piece of advice into that. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you know more information than me on the subject, then you are useful. Just because you don't think somebody can give you the best advice on the planet, they might not be able to. They might be able to give you a nugget, though. You don't have to take the whole pie. You can take a piece of it. So I would say, anybody who's in your circle or outside of your circle, you know, make sure that you're tapping their shoulders. You're asking them questions respectfully. Make sure that you're going to the library. There's books on books on books of places that you can find information. YouTube, Google. Make sure that you're just absorbing as much information as you can in order to better prepare yourself for things that are coming up down the road. So those will be my two pieces of advice. Make sure that you're building a brand, not just making a cool product, and make sure that you're asking questions and always educating yourself on the subject. Education should be something that you do all the time. As she said before, I'm a nerd. I love to learn something new. So
he has a library
card. I have a library card and I use that thing. So whether you think it or not, you know, always educate, always continue to educate, always implement education into your business because things are always changing. So you want to be as, you know, on top of what's new and what's coming as you can be.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Well, it was a pleasure to have you both. We learned a lot.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So much. Thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
This was great.
Ambrose, yes. Ambrose, I'm usually pretty comfortable with my decisions in life, and I'm 100% doubled down on this choice to make sure that you were part of the show.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad I could be here.
Yes.
You might be the most fashion forward, fashionable, cool nerd I've ever met. So,
you know, we got to be able to do both. Okay.
We love the versatility. How can everybody find Skin Muse, you individually? How can we find you and connect with you guys on social media?
So we were lucky where we trademarked this name and we have it on all platforms, SKNMUSE.
And I was about to ask that because immediately when I saw the run, I thought, you were first.
SKNMUSE, Twitter, TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, everywhere. Instagram, everywhere, YouTube, SKNMUSE. My personal is Avenue_Z, is where you can find me on Instagram. And then my Twitter is _ZMuse, letter Z, and then MUSE. I'm horrible with communication on there, but please find me.
My handle on, I think, almost all platforms is _BigHooch, H-O-O-C-H.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love you guys. Couldn't be more proud of you. Love watching the journey and super grateful that you spent part of your day with us here so we can inspire some more entrepreneurs.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara, produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our hosts, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I Am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.